Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series. Today we're talking with Heidi Domboltz, project leader of the Social Justice, Reconciliation and National Cohesion Project, GIZ, in Kenya. Thank you very much for being here, Mrs. Domboltz.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
This year's World Development Report substantively addresses the relationship between transitional justice, security, and development in post-conflict societies as a crucial link. How will the emerging awareness of these linkages inform development policies?
Well, first of all, I want to say that indeed the World Development Report is really groundbreaking in the analysis that it provides to underscore the interlinkages between the different fields. I think how it will affect now development policies or influence is maybe not so much by the knowledge that these different fields are so much interconnected. I think the knowledge in itself was there for a couple of years. What is important is that it is really evidence-based now, really based on thorough analysis conducted by the World Bank. Secondly, I think it is very important that it comes from the World Bank as well, since it is an extremely authoritative international agency that has so far not been involved so much within this domain, as it is also very often politically sensitive. I hope, and I sincerely hope, that that will be the main impact of the report, is that some of the findings will find their way in operational implementation. A specific example is that the report very clearly underscores that processes for change and of justice take a long time. I think it was on average 37 years, and this actually has an impact on how to work on these issues. And so I hope that that will be the operational implication of the findings of the World Bank report.
Many advocate sequencing of security, development, and justice measures in post-conflict settings. Do you believe this approach works in long term?
Instead of sequencing security, development, and justice measures, it is more and more accepted that these different processes are not linearly connected, but more in a circular process, interconnected and fundamentally interconnected. That means that you cannot just start working on one and then after that on the other. At the same time, it has to be recognized that certain framework conditions need to be present to move from humanitarian aid and total emergency aid, working on sustainable development and more complex issues as justice. But it's also more and more accepted that the earlier justice development come into play, the better and the more sustainable the contributions will be.
How do you see development in the context of the principle of complementarity between the ICC and national courts?
There is an increased awareness that there is an absolute need to strengthen the national judicial systems because the ICC has limited capacities, and if it wants to be meaningful in an international setting, then we have to have, in the first place, strengthened national accountability systems. What I think is interesting, and what also is already mentioned at this retreat, is that we need to better understand complementarity and then try to make it work. In the reflection of trying to make it work, I think it is important to recognize the specificity of the situation or the specificities of the crimes that the Rome Statute deals with. It are not ordinary crimes, and the situations that are dealt with are not ordinary situations. So in the development of furthering the principle of complementarity, I think it is really important to keep in mind that maybe specific situations or specific measures will be required to deal with these very specific situations. Together with the thinking around complementarity, I also think that we don't have to lose out of sight that if we also want the ICC to be meaningful in national contexts, that the thinking around how the ICC has to be made meaningful in local context also still requires some thinking and operationalization.
What policies can development agencies adopt to support domestic capacity building efforts to enable national judiciaries to tackle cases of mass atrocity and other serious crimes?
First of all, it will be very important to have willingness of donors, and I think there it is important to make the distinction between development implementing agencies and donor agencies. Whereas, of course, the implementing agencies will have to work on a commissioned mandate of the donor agencies. In terms of what development agencies or implementing agencies such as DIZ can do, I think it is important to bring about the technical knowledge that is available at this point in time. And I think Green Tree is very important in that regard. That is that we don't start from scratch. We bring at the table what is there. We have a lot of lessons learned in terms of technical capacity building within the justice sector. On the other hand, I think there is a need to sharpen our analysis of this specificity of the crimes under the Rome Statute and do a good analysis of the factors and actors that are important in working on those issues and what would be appropriate responses. One example or one idea could be to improve a double-track integrated approach whereby at the same time ordinary or normal justice systems are supported and there is another layer on that or on top of that that deals or looks at specifically the crimes that are dealt with under the Rome Statute.
What are the key challenges of agencies supporting judiciaries, law enforcement agencies, witness protection, and other key institutions needed for tackling serious crimes? Are certain entry points easier than others?
I think it's very important to start each time from the context and the specific context. In development cooperation and when working in fragile states or situations, there is this notion that says take context as the starting point. Every country will be different, and two elements or two dimensions that are specifically relevant when talking about complementarity is this aspect of willingness and ability. In case you would have a fully willing state, willing to prosecute, but where the only problem is technical ability, then you would have, of course, easier entry points than in a situation where there might be some lacunae in political willingness for prosecution. If there is no such a full willingness, then entry points might be change actors in systems, whereas prosecution and criminal justice is, of course, a chain involving many actors. It might be that some of those actors are easier to work with, and so then it is important to do a thorough analysis and identify those actors and what can be done with it. I think we just learned from our Ugandan colleague, for example, that the Chief Justice decided to create a special division whereby he then created an opportunity to deal with crimes under the Rome Statute without going through the Parliament. I think that is then, of course, already clearly indicating one of the entry points. Then the entry point is not necessarily drafting a law for maybe a specific tribunal or a special tribunal, but approaching the Chief Justice and supporting the Chief Justice in creating a special division. What is another key challenge is to make the linkage between individual capacity building and organizational and institutional development. As indicated, appropriate criminal justice or appropriate criminal prosecutions will require the involvement of different actors. And so it's not only a matter of having the technical capacity within each agency or actor, but also making them work together so that they really interconnect, so that in the end you really have results.
How do you think the meeting at Green Tree can help the implementation of the complementarity principle, and what are the expectations you have for the meeting?
First of all, I think it is very good and very important that these two worlds are brought together, the international criminal justice world and the development cooperation world. From Green Tree 1, I think we learned that that was really necessary. Both worlds have a lot of expertise, have a lot of skills, a lot of enthusiasm and people also that are very willing to work on these issues. And so I think it's very important to bring them together. And there was a large gap, and I think Green Tree 1 and Green Tree 2 have indeed contributed to narrow that gap or to try to build a bridge between these two different worlds. In terms of specific outcomes or expectations from this meeting or to take home with this meeting, I think there's two different aspects. The first one is on a very operational level because it allows for contacts, it allows for suggestions on collaborations, on exchange of technical expertise that can be relevant in our individual fields of work and individual situations. On a more structural level, I hope that this retreat or the outcome will lead to a more structured analysis in depth of the expertise available on the way forward. On a more political level, I think the retreat also contributes to provide support to the ASP, very much a political actor in this debate, but to provide some technical expertise to the ASP to still bring this issue of complementarity on the agenda and to be backed by technical analysis on what is possible so that it does not become only a white ghost of complexity, but that we can actually break it down and tell there is certain things that we can do. There are still things that are going on and we can actually build on that. We do not need to reinvent the wheel.
Thank you very much for this interview, Mrs. Rombouts.
You're welcome.